Hello and welcome to another episode of CMO Combo, the CMO Alliance podcast where we dive into insights from the best and brightest CMOs and top-level marketers. This time, I'm speaking to Kyla Yates, who's here to share her experiences as an interim CMO, to give advice to both other interim CMOs and the companies that employ them on everything they need to hit the ground running and get the most out of their time. This episode brought to you by DeepCrawl. Savvy CMOs know that SEO has never been a more important part of their marketing mix. Ranking at the top of Google search results has a direct impact on revenue by lowering customer acquisition costs, but content and keyword optimization is only part of the picture. Following recent search engine updates, your overall website health and technical performance are key to ranking well in 2021 and beyond. With DeepCrawl's all-in-one technical SEO and website health platform, your team will have the tools it needs to track your website's technical performance, improve page ranking, and stay top of mind with customers by staying top of the search results in Google. Join leading brands who already use DeepCrawl, including teams at Adobe, eBay, Twitch, PayPal, Microsoft, and Canva. Visit DeepCrawl.com to ensure your brand reaches its full revenue potential through the one initiative most marketing teams overlook, technical SEO. Hi, Kyla. How are you doing today?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, I'm a little bit full of cold, but we'll suffer through that today. I apologize to any listeners if I make any gross noises, but it's the season. It's autumn in the UK. Like, it is cold season, so it's going around. But today we're talking about hitting the ground running as an interim CMO. It's something that is going to be very important for a lot of companies that are moving out of sort of like their pandemic, like downsizing, looking to expand. I'm probably going to be employing a lot of interim CMOs in the coming months. So it's going to be very relevant both to CMOs, but also to companies that are looking to employ interim CMOs.
Absolutely.
But before we get down to that, Kyla, how about you introduce yourself to our audience? Tell us a bit about your professional background and your approach to the CMO role.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me, by the way. Okay, so Kyla Yates, and I have been a marketer for well over 30 years. I started, I cut my teeth at IBM and kind of moved on from there. So always within the tech space. Most of my career has been living overseas. So I really believe that if you're going to be looking after international markets, you need to understand the context within which that message is landing, the creative is landing, the color, the number, whatever, is that you really understand the context that your clients are receiving information. I am just a character that just is always curious. I'm always interested in learning new things, and goodness, who doesn't love travel? So spent a lot of my career living overseas and honing my craft. But I became an interim CMO just over 8 years ago. It was I'd finished a role and I was not really sure where I wanted to go. And I really was looking for somewhere where I could have an immediate impact. That was really important to me. And hence moving into interim roles, because you can have an incredible impact really quickly. And that impact can be in so many different ways. So I'll stop for a moment, see if there's anything you want to, go back over or ask.
No, that sounds good. But that it must be a good role for a curious person, being an interim CMO. Like, you're always being, I don't want to say dumped into new situations, but you're always in a new situation, new company to discover, new industries to discover. Even.
Exactly. I love learning. And I really love what I found in this interim business is that actually, while a lot of the problems that companies might feel that they're facing are unique to them, they're not. The comfort is in knowing that you're not alone. There's lots of other people facing the same sort of challenges. But I can bring a different perspective to the issue. So technology and tech marketing has gone through this. It goes through a constant, innovation. And that's one of the reasons why I love working in tech marketing, is this constant innovation and the impact that innovation has on society, on businesses, business models, and how organizations grow fascinates me. But it's also can be quite a challenge for companies to understand how to leverage that technology, how to move. If you've started on a path, you know, you've sort of had a vision and you've grown your organization and you're all heading towards a direction, but you can see that that direction maybe isn't where you want to be. There's new innovation, new opportunities. How do you move? Sometimes it's like moving the Titanic. How do you move an organization to a new direction? Are all kind of things that I've faced in the last year with clients, and perhaps maybe talk a little bit about that. You know, why an interim, and what is why would an interim be a good solution for some of the scenarios I just talked about?
Yeah, let's dive into that. Let's go with it. Yeah. Like what kind of function does an interim CMO usually, or what kind of function do you usually perform as an interim CMO? That's probably a better way of putting it.
Let's talk about me for a minute, because you know, I understand that there will be interim CMOs who bring a different set of skills. You know, a lot of the companies and the organizations that I've worked with have been looking for team transformation, the marketing organization transformation. So organizational design, structure, process, some of those, you know, kind of uglier bits. But it's really, is the marketing team, it's a horrible phrase to use, and please, it's certainly not something that CEOs have used with me, but it's a good way for me to describe, is the marketing team fit for purpose? Here's where we want to be. And we have a marketing organization that's doing great work, but maybe they're not leveraging technology in a way that would give them greater efficiency or more impact to pipeline management. And then certainly within some of the startups and scale-ups, you know, we've never had a CMO before. Now we realize that actually we need to have somebody who's part of our executive team. Previously, marketing might have reported into a, you know, head of function, so operations. And as part of that, bringing someone into the exec team is we don't understand marketing, and we want somebody that can, you know, help us understand what we should be looking for in terms of a new head of marketing, a new CMO, but also what's the infrastructure we need to prepare and plan for and adopt in order to make that new person successful. And those are really quite, you know, different types of CMO function, CMO or interim roles, but equally fascinating. So I always find that, you know, if you've not had a CMO as part of the exec team, that worries me, because that suggests that someone has been, you know, looking after the brand, someone's been looking after the go-to-market, either at the side of their desk, or it's been juniorized. That role hasn't been given a strategic voice. And to come in as the interim CMO, you need to feel like you can have that voice. You need to have the authority and the credibility. So sometimes what you're having to do when you first come in is create that credibility, create that immediate impact that people will see that the role of marketing has moved, has changed, and that there's a different outcome that they could expect from their marketing function. That's quite a big ask for one person for 6 months, you know, and that immediate impact you've got to be able to do within your first 100 days. So I love them. They're a challenge, but they come with, you know, an immense amount of stress, because you really do have the responsibility of how is marketing going to be perceived, and how is the team that I'm going to create going to be able to respond to that challenge. Remember, many of them will have been, you know, might have reported into an operations head or into product or CPO. You're now taking them out and you're putting the lens on this marketing organization. You're putting a lens on the individuals, and that comes with, you know, immense amount of pressure. And so there's some things that I do, and I'll talk about some of the tactics a little bit later, but that's the sort of function. But the role that you're playing within these companies changes, right? So some organizations are really saying, we know we have an issue with not understanding the customer journey. Our products aren't really built around that customer experience. And we're losing business, you know, we're losing churn for our app. How do we fix that? We know that there's a refinement to our product. How do we go about data gathering? Now, of course, most product teams should be able to do that. But where are who's doing the insight gathering? And then who's creating the actionable plan from that insight gathering? So those are, you know, some of those. But there's the majority of the work I do is in pipeline development, the demand generation, the acquisition of new business, and in really creating a strong data-driven, insights-driven marketing team that uses the right technology at the right time. And that comes with its own challenges, because data and insights is something that you need to gather over time. You know, I'm absolutely hugely targeted, you know, KPIs driven, but you need to set those KPIs in a way that is, you know, that are achievable to start with, but also so that you can say, I'm going to gather all of the SEO, for instance, and we'll rewrite content from an SEO perspective, and then we'll gather the data. And we'll be able to give you a view immediately of the impact of that work, but don't make too many assumptions. You know, let's not make too many hasty decisions about the type of marketing we do until we've had a bit more time to really investigate. Was it the piece of content? Was it the timing of that content? Was it the channel that content was delivered on? And was it, you know, an H1 or an H2 that made the difference? What was it that created that reaction? And that's the bit where some of the C-suite can get a little, you know, frustrated. It's like, why don't you know? So it's really about being able to be productive very quickly and setting expectations. All I seem to do is reset and set expectations. And then finally, one of the other key aspects of all of this is also brand reputation. You know, growth is absolutely what every company wants to do, but you want to do it in a way that is enhancing and building that brand and that reputation. So much of that is also, you know, orchestrating messaging, segmentation, brand surveys and reception, and all the way through to creative look and feel. So quite a broad breadth of the type of marketing work that we would do. But that's also one of the joys of being an interim. You almost get to pick the projects you're going to work on.
Is it like individual projects that you're brought in to work on, or are you just sometimes brought in just to be a CMO? For 6 months?
Like, yeah, normally it's be a CMO for 6 months. Being a CMO for 6 months, here's the problem that we have. And normally it's, you know, our head of marketing didn't work out. We've lost a head of marketing. They've moved to a competitor. Or actually what we realize is the role was a head of marketing. It's a director level role. And we want to upgrade the position. And with that, upgrade marketing. So we're about to invest heavily in marketing. And as part of that investment process, we will bring in an interim, but we want you to help us hire the new head of the new CMO and to make them successful. So mostly it is, I prefer them coming and being an interim. I have worked on projects, you know, I've worked on specific CMO projects. So interim roles I did was to hold the fort for someone who was about to join. They had a 4 month gardening leave break, and so I was holding the fort during that period. But part of the KPIs that we set for that interim period for me is I'd look at the organizational structure that I would have for them, how we go about funding that new organization. This person was coming into really only three marketers globally. And I built a business case for 25. Not immediately, because no company's going to fund that, but certainly being able to show that phased approach of where are the priorities and where do we move to within a window of 2 years. And then within that project, it was really, we've got a really big product launch. It's huge. It will change the way that we're perceived and hence moving to CMO position. And really help us with that launch and the positioning and getting all the right resources to help us deliver. So it's usually, you know, we need an interim, but there can be some really big projects.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, let's start with just being an interim, like I don't want to say just being an interim, but being an interim, what preparation do you do before you start work? What do you have in your head before you get into the office on day, or if you're not getting into the offices, if it's remote work, like what do you have in your head in day one? What information do you need? What prep work do you do?
I think so much of it is really what good marketers do is take the brief. And it's so, you know, the conversations that you're having with the execs that you're speaking to, that you're introduced to. More often than not, it'll be somebody from HR and the CEO. But I always ask to speak to a slightly wider, so the head of sales, head of product, are usually, you know, my go-tos, because they give me a sense of, are these people I could work with? Is the cultural fit right? But also really understanding priorities. What the CEO might tell you may not be played out on your colleagues. So it's really being able to see, is everyone on the same page? Are we all focused on the same outcomes and objectives for this placement? And then it's really taking the brief, like, so, you know, what specifically, what are the outcomes you're expecting? How do we measure that? How do we track that? Who's looking at that performance? And how do I make sure that's something I feel I could deliver in the period of time of the placement? So some, you know, some things can be, some things are achievable, some aren't. Or what I can say is that looks to me to be a 6 month window of outcomes. I know within the 4 month placement that these are the steps we'll take to achieving that. And we'll have a roadmap for that 6 months, we'll have a roadmap for 8 months. So some of it is, a lot of it is taking the brief. And then it's being able to define, I usually like to define my 30-60 day plan. And some of the metrics and the objectives that are set around that, and get that agreed up front. And really from there, it is just being able to go back to those and revisit within the first 30 days and say, hey, now that I've been here 30 days, here are some of the challenges in order to be able to meet these, and this is why. So it's really so often resetting those objectives, sometimes it's completely redefining them, but take the brief, really be sure that the cultural it is going to be right, because I have done that. I've gone into an organization where I've known almost immediately that this was not going to be the right place for me. And I think, in at least one instance, they hadn't cleared the path, right? So part of it is also clearing the path, is letting the marketing organization know, letting the entire organization know that we have, you know, we're hiring an interim, and that interim is going to be focusing purely on these four things. Everything else is, you know, noise, but these four things need to be fixed in order for us to achieve these objectives. So it's really also being able to advise the new client, the new company, of how to prepare the ground for the new interim CMO. Did I answer your question?
Yes, yeah, definitely. It sounds interesting what you're talking about, setting the KPIs. Who sets these KPIs? Who sets these metrics? Is it just you that you have internally, or do you talk to like the CEO? Do you talk to other heads of department to do them?
I'm setting those objectives with the CEO. And where there's an embedded, so for instance, if there's a product launch, you know, we really, one of the things you need to achieve while you're here in the 6 months is we have a huge digital product that we need to launch. And these are some of it. So what I'll do is there is go work with that CPO or the head of that particular team and understand what is achievable, you know? And this, all of this, you know, it might sound like I'm going to set objectives I can meet. Well, not many companies allow you to do that. It is then a conversation and the dynamic that you have with finance team, chief commercial officer. It's all part and parcel of the, just the dynamic of being part of a management team is, you know, what objectives have we set? Where's the strategy? How is this new product going to meet your business strategy? And what metrics did you set around it? More often than not, I have metrics set for me that I can't change because they're so bedded into the roadmap of the organization. My role then becomes, how do we achieve those without sort of killing people in the process? but also, do we really need to go back and revisit some of those market expectations? It's like anything, it's a negotiation. And I've set KPIs sometimes that I've regretted because they've been almost impossible.
Haven't we all at some point?
But that's part and parcel of the, you know, the fun of it all is like, what can we do? And how do we go clearing the path to get it done?
Let's talk about clearing the path. So one of the big issues, I suppose, the way of putting it, big issues that have come up a lot in these episodes and my conversations with CMOs, more like the residential, I suppose that's a way of putting it, in-house CMOs, is building those relationships with other heads of department, with other departments. They've got the advantage of time to build those relationships. They can build personal relationships with those heads of department. How do you do it as an interim CMO who could be just in there for like 3 months or 4 months? Like, how do you build that solid relationship with like the head of sales or the head of finance?
What a great question. Because I've got to tell you, it's something I wonder about myself. I have, and it really comes down to very honest conversations, really honest conversations. Just say, you know, tell me what in the first week, I'm meeting many of those heads on. And part of the conversations usually is what's worked and what hasn't worked. And here's the KPI I've set for myself, or this is the KPI we agreed. Within that context, what's achievable? With whom? Which team? How do we create? And I think certainly within management, when you're joining a management team, they're all that, you know, they are all wedded to this outcome. So you tend to get people saying, you know what, I was going to use the word pivot, I don't like pivot anymore. you know, we all know we need to move our sales operations team to, in order to make this, that you successful, make the project successful. So I think part of it is a management team that completely is behind the outcomes that the CMO has signed up for. So everyone signed up for them. I really have felt that they're a shared goal. And then it's just really honest, almost brutal conversations sometimes, you know. Finance, you've promised me that we'll get the funding for this, but every time I go and hit the instead of the CFO, the head of finance store, and I get seen, I get shown the same spreadsheet, well, that's good, you know, that has to move. Have you ring fenced fund? How do I tap into that ring fenced fund? Those are really sometimes difficult conversations. But I honestly haven't met anyone in a company that hasn't been open to getting some feedback on their function and the way that their team is interacting with marketing, where we could get greater efficiencies, where there might be, you know, more opportunity to work closely in ahead of something happening. You know, so it's that, how do we build the processes to take some of the angst and the infuriating conversations out? How do we work better together? So that's processes, personalities, conversations. I think I'm also one of these people that just doesn't, I just believe we're all in this for the same reason. We want this company to be successful. So why wouldn't we find a way to get around our own functional barriers? You know, there's always a way to work together a bit more, you know, a bit more closely, a bit better. We find those.
Do you take any activities, any, like, is there like a step process you have for building these bonds, or is it just like you just work it out on the job kind of thing?
I work it out. I mean, lots of the processes, like, so that I think the first month is the most important, and I put a lot of energy into the first month, including before I join. So here's the things that you companies should do in preparation for me to come on board, and that sometimes it could be just a week to get it, to get, you know, to clear the runway for me to come. Obviously, the technology and making sure that I can be productive straight away. But there's some really simple things. I found having admin support immediately is like a game changer, because they're getting the calls set up for me before I've even joined. But they also know how to navigate the invoicing process, you know, how to, if something doesn't work for my IT or office, you know, access, when we get back to offices, I'm in an office today, all of that is cleared. But there's also things like induction. So understanding the way, who's who in the company, how does the company operate, the things that you would do for anyone that's joining afresh, how do they, where's your intranet, where do they go for, you know, so getting all of that done within the first few days and having admin support has just paved the way for me to be successful. Getting a lot of those calls set up and knowing, you can find out a calls, I say calls, face-to-face more often than not. You can find, you know, very quickly who is maybe not on the same page as you. Mm-hmm. And I just know I need to spend more time with them. Or I need to go and investigate why. What I found really good is in the first 2 weeks, I have a quick catch up, and literally 15 minutes with the CEO every other day. And that's just to say, hey, here's some assumptions I'm starting to build. These are my initial theories. My hypothesis for this is, do you agree or disagree? Have I misunderstood? Am I, you know, not capturing the right feedback? Who else do I need to go and talk to in order to step away from this hypothesis? And look, is it all, you know, is the CEO always the right person to ask? Not always. Sometimes it is just, it's connecting with the board members too to understand where they are, and particularly companies, just not just listed companies, but also scale-ups. And it's that first month is where you make the most, it's how quickly you can absorb information. Then back to that first couple of weeks is also, where's your strategy dog? Where are we with having achieved those strategic goals? Where are our revenue targets, and also where are we on meeting the revenue targets? Does anyone, you know, where can I get a win loss report? Who can take me through, is there a customer focus group? how quickly can I meet them? And where I can, I also, sorry, there's a round of applause going on.
It's all good. We can edit stuff out if needed.
And where I can, I really like to get out and talk to buyers. So with a couple of the commercial team, sales team, is just so I can go and listen to the way they pitch the organization, the way that a specific product or service might be talked about. All the way down to who owns the website. Let me go and see what the data looks like. So it really is just that first month of the foundation setting. So I know, one of the other things is if we have a PR agency, what's our crisis plan? So that God forbid anything should happen, I know how to respond. And I have had an interim assignment. It was my first week. Friday afternoon, I'm working from home, reading all of these sort of documents, and something of a crisis happened.
In the first week.
Wow. It was on Friday. CEO is on holiday. CFO, who was standing in for the CEO, is just out of pocket. He's driving to, his summer home. But it was also the perfect example of where an interim CMO who has, a bunch of experience can just say, and I've got other exec members calling me going, oh my God, I've seen this. Could you all just get away from my phone? Because right now I don't want to speak to you. I want to speak to my PR agency. Mm-hmm. And I'd already met them. So it's actually understanding all of the crises type of stuff. If the website goes down, who fixes it? And having that knowledge actually gives you greater confidence to just go about your day. So just, I am a bit of a disaster theorist. I always look at what's the worst thing that can happen with this? But it helps. It makes me feel more comfortable knowing that I know what to do should something happen. Should there be a problem?
It's just like knowing where your fire exits are and stuff. Like 100%. Day one, know where the fire exits are, know what to do in a marketing crisis as well.
Exactly. And, luckily I managed to close that one down very quickly. It was a Friday afternoon too, so not the best journalist in the world. but it's those things. It's I think another reason why seasoned, she says with a salt pepper, seasoned CMO is what you're hiring. That's what you're paying for.
And I suppose if it's a short interim that you're working for, you need a seasoned CMO, someone who can hit the ground running straight away.
And often, so many of the execs that I work with will say, I don't understand that. I kind of know what I like about my, marketing does some things, but I don't actually know how marketing works. I think certainly the more digital marketing and a lot of the MarTech execs really don't understand. And so what they're looking for you to do is to help them kind of navigate that. And so therefore they'll kind of go, I know enough to be dangerous, but actually don't know enough. So I do want someone that can come in and say, you told me that your problem was demand generation, or the quality of the leads that we're getting is not, it's poor. But actually, your issue isn't the quality of the leads, it's your products, or it could be your customer care, after someone's acquired a product, they're kind of, it's low value, so they don't really care about coming out of it. A seasoned CMO will be able to tell you where that problem really comes from, and can also say, you hired me to come and look at your brand and your reputation, but actually, I think you have a bigger problem over here in your marketing, or in your sales organization. So let me go and see: is it a sales enablement issue? Is it a sales training issue? So it's just the marketer, a CMO who is an expert in what they do, but also an expert in how marketing fits into the bigger organization.
Do you think as an interim CMO, then you have a better appreciation for like the broader responsibility of marketing within an organization, because you have to be able to get in there straight away and look at all the big picture that's related to marketing. Like, you don't have time to just be, I'm just in charge of brand. You have to know straight away, how does this brand fit into the different functions of the business?
Exactly. And it's you know, the marketing CMO should be a generalist. We should then be able to go, and I mean, I you know, the where I am at the moment, we know we've got something that's not working in marketing operations, right? There's something with our tech stack that's not working. So rather than completely change all the processes and change everything, hire an expert who will come and tell us what's broken in the stack. You know, before it was just the quality of leads or the process within which the lead is being managed and how it ends up in the sales funnel is just, it's a mess. So as a generalist, I know, I could see where, I think I know where the problem is. So I've hired somebody to come and look at that problem, but it's a specialist. And as a generalist, I can then identify where we need to rectify, remedy, and how, bring in short-term care, and then move on to the next issue. And they're all connected, you know, it's all super connected. So a CMO should be a generalist.
Definitely, definitely. Like, you have to cover so much as a CMO, and particularly as an interim CMO. So we have kind of crossed into what I did want to talk about next, which was, we talked about like the, I don't want to say external, but like interdepartmental work that you do as an interim CMO. What about specifically within the marketing function? Like, do you go in like day one? Do you do a big inspiring speech to the team and lay out your strategy? Like, what is like, how do you work with marketing teams when you're...
Yeah, so every marketing team that I have worked with will tell you that I don't do the inspiring speech. I'm just too practiced. I'm a real pragmatist. You know, it's most of the marketing teams that I've worked with have either just lost the head of marketing and are a little bit shell-shocked, or have known for a while that things won't work, you know. So they're kind of ready and receptive, but worried and really concerned about the impact that's going to have on them as a team and as individuals. So my approach is always with compassion, because, you know, how would you, I would feel all of those things if it was me. So, and at that point, I don't want an inspiring speech. I want to feel that the person that's going to come in is going to listen to me, that I still have a valid voice in the work that this person's going to do with me, and that they are going to be the voice of marketing into the exec, and finally that I feel like they could inspire more creative, more metrics driven work. So I tend to do the, you know, I talk about my experience and the types of companies I've worked for, the types of work I've done, and certainly the last few interim assignments, just to get them a sense of the work that we'll be doing together. But I'm also really honest, you know, that this is the interim role is about transforming marketing, and we collectively have this amazing opportunity to go and recraft a team, an organization in the vision that we'd want. You know, how often if we as employees sat in a group and kind of go, wish we could do more of this, and I don't understand why my boss won't allow us to do this. Well, I think the for a marketing team, an interim CMO is this amazing opportunity to be able to say, I've got four ideas that I'd love to share with you. You know, I really think we could work more closely with sales if we did more of this. Or we have a real problem with us, you know, with our product teams, because they're not sharing enough with us. So that's the problem I want you to solve for me. It's those are the things I look for from my team as I go in to look after them, kind of be their caretaker manager for a while. Is you've been here longer than I have, so you're more aware of where the roadblocks will be, where the road bumps might come. You will have had ideas that maybe you weren't able to realize before. And that's not because the previous head of marketing didn't allow it to happen. Sometimes it's the organization structure didn't allow it to happen, you know, or the organization's ambitions have changed. And so marketing should be able to step up to those ambitions. And so that to me is the opportunity to go and do some great work. And I think as part of the, you know, interim management is also the opportunity to say no. I say this to every single team I go to work with, is you have a chance to say no. You know, there are some things that are just noise that we do because we've always done them. Well, what would we stop doing? And some of them won't stop, you know. Some I can't stop. Some of the things are just functions of our role that we might not like doing, but we can find other efficiencies. But really, it's also being able to say, you know, we waste our time writing. A great example, right? So we have a lot of marketing teams have internal newsletters, right, that inform their sales colleagues of what's coming. Mm-hmm. Do we really need a newsletter? Do we need to be spending half a day writing, you know, newsletters when there are some great tools like Slack and Confluence and things where you can put all the information up there and just say, hey, sales, go over to that Confluence page. I've got everything in there. My initial thoughts on where I'm going with this new initiative, the data we're gathering, the insights we've been able to capture. I've got some slides over there that you can read through, and I've done a short video commentary with it. So I don't even have to waste your time. It's on demand. Go check it out. I'd love to see how that message lands with a customer. And that just means that the marketing team is more efficient. And that we can be more iterative with the work that we do, which means that our work improves with every interaction it has with a colleague. And so it's all about really... what's holding you back? And then let's try and figure out how we solve that.
It's interesting because you wouldn't think that an interim CMO would be in a position to really take ownership of like learning and development of the marketing team. But it sounds like there's something that you do as part of your role.
Yeah, I really believe that that's, I mean, it's one I love. It's one of the things I love doing anyway, is I have quite open conversations with each of the team members, you know. Where do you want to be from a career perspective? Why are you here? What's keeping you here? What motivates you? What work have you really enjoyed doing and why? And what do you wish we could do more of? That gives me a sense of who they are. And I'm really proud of the fact that certainly from most of the companies I've worked in, the team that's stayed, that's stuck together, we've evolved. I still talk to, coach, mentor, answer questions, you know, a few of them we still have. There's one group that I have, all our conversations are GIFs. But I, you know, it really is about getting to know the individuals, how those individuals fit within the plan and the transformation that you need to make happen, and having brutal conversations, really brutal. In a lot of these transformations, you are letting people go. And those really open, honest conversations that I really should thank everyone that's participated in them and has, you know, responded so well, is just to be able to say, here's where the team needs to be, and I think that you're in the wrong space. You know, what can we do to help you? And sometimes it is training. You know, sometimes it is a simple thing as, I think if you spend the next 6 months learning this tool. If you go and sign up with the CIM or spend time with working in a project management role, logo management, project management skills, work in a product management role for a short while so you understand the impact of what's coming. So some of those are very easy internal processes and programs. Some of them are courses in education. And then often it is just, how can I personally help you find another role? Because I don't think you're going to, I don't think you're going to enjoy this project. I don't think your skills are quite right for this project. And that those conversations I don't have immediately. They're over time. It's through testing and coaching and watching and tasking. So that's where I get very hands-on. It gets into the weeds sometimes.
So this is about your personal experience of the team rather than necessarily like previous performance stats or previous like
assessments. I do both. Yeah, I'm looking at previous assessments. I'm talking to people inside the organization that they're interacting with. I'm always looking at what is the business outcome that we need to drive. And is this person going to be able to change the PR function? I know I'm not getting value out of my PR agency. They're too passive. They're kind of waiting for me. If I get on a call, then they respond to things. Why is that? Is it because that person that is the head of PR doesn't have the voice, doesn't have the training, doesn't have the experience? They may not even have metrics that they've given the PR agent. Let's set the metrics and let's see how that person is able to respond to that challenge. If they're not able to respond to that challenge, I give them another challenge. And it's just, I think, if you're going to let somebody go, you kind of need to tell them why. And I don't have the luxury of 6 months with them, but I can give them internal feedback. And I can give them the feedback from my own observations of their ability to step up. And more often than not, it is just me demanding more, but within the scope of their function and their, experience and authority within a company. So I just talked about, the head of PR. If they're not able to manage a PR agency, we have a problem. And that's an easy problem to define to an individual and give them an opportunity and give them some of the tools in order to step up. But if they're not able to step up, it's a very open conversation because I've already given you the needs and you haven't been able to, for whatever reason, there's always something. If you're not able to step up, then my conversation is, I don't think this is the right place for you. Mm-hmm. But it could be that I hire in someone to be the head of PR, in which case I need to change job title. A couple of people are okay with that. Some of them sort of say, actually, yes, all I've ever wanted is to have someone to come, to learn from, to learn my craft from. That's fine. So it's, again, it's that back to being a compassionate leader. Is understanding the impact of your words, the impact of the advice and the guidance you're going to give someone, and doing it in a way that is just human, clear, and with data points to help somebody understand why. It's always the why.
I was actually just about to ask, what is the ultimate golden rule of being an interim CMO? But you seem to have summed it up pretty perfectly there, being a compassionate leader, but also having the data-driven points to support what you need to do.
Yeah, and all of those things are, you really have to be able to, assert's the wrong word, but I'll use assert because I can't think of another one. your credibility and your experience and knowledge within a company, within the marketing team, within, your peer group, and I don't always have the answers. I'm being able to say I don't actually know what the answer is for that. but let's go figure it out. Here's some things that I think we could use to go and track where that change might be. A good example is one of the companies that I worked with. The go-to-market planning was atrocious. But that's because everyone was kind of, you know, within the organization, the different functions were just looking at their own, what do I need to do in order to get this thing out into the market? But what was being forgotten is that how do you get something out to the market? You get it through marketing. And you can't just throw stuff over the wall and go, here you go, marketing, go make it stick. So it's creating that go-to-market, but doing it in a way that's really working with all of the colleagues across the organization and for them to realize that, okay, now I get what you're trying to do. I get that actually you're going to take away a lot of the frustrations and inefficiencies I was working with in order to create a much, you know, a better dialogue across the entire organization, but also better outcomes, because then I can, you know, then I product will know what is achievable in 3 months or what good might look like in 4 months if we go to market, because that means my colleagues. So it is the credibility and the ability to just say, you know, I don't know why it's broken, why the go-to-market is broken in this company, but let's go figure it out.
Awesome. So we've talked a lot about, well, we have kind of crossed into what you need to leave behind as an interim CMO for success, but I think that's a fascinating conversation to have another time, which I hope you'll join me for, Kyla. I think we've covered quite a bit of very interesting stuff with what you need to start out as a good interim CMO, but I think a future conversation would definitely have to be about.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, what to leave behind. Thank you very much for joining us today, Kyla. This has been a really interesting conversation. I think it's going to be interesting, not just to CMOs, but also to companies looking to hire interim CMOs as well, setting them up for success. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back soon with another CMO Convo.